Welcome to Wake Up with AI, the podcast where human-powered meets AI-assisted. Join your hosts, Chris Carolan, Nico Lafakis, and George B. Thomas, as we dive deep into the world of artificial intelligence. From the latest AI news to cutting-edge tools and skill sets, we are here to help business owners, marketers, and everyday individuals unlock their full potential with the power of AI. Let's get started.
Good morning. Waking up with AI already. It's December 5th, July.
No, don't do that to me. No. Christmas in July.
Oh my God. How many people just did a double take?
December 5th. I'm just going to go through all the months. 2024, I think, is what I was looking for. Years, months, is it even going to matter next year, the year after that? That's why we're here, waking up with AI, with George B. Thomas and Nico Lafakis. How are you guys doing today?
Doing so good.
Yeah, doing good. Excited for today's fun-filled conversation.
Yeah, it sounds like we're just letting Nico unwrap Shipmas gifts for a little bit on the next few shows. So get after it, Nico.
Right out the gate, anybody that doesn't know already, you should. If you're following us, if you're following me, 12 days of Shipmas starts today. That is Shipmas. Like, I just ship my pants.
If anybody I love that commercial, by the way.
Right?
I did.
I ship the bed. It was so great. So 12 days of Shipmas starts today, and that is OpenAI's gift to everybody. It's 12 business days. I had speculated that it would be the weekend too, because I thought that would just be phenomenal. But of course, you know, don't make people work over the weekend. I got it. So over the next 12 business days, OpenAI is either going to be doing a feature release or some type of product release. So they were, you know, Sam was straight up enough to just be like, yep, it's either one or the other. And I can't even fathom, like, we have had drips of features over the course of time. I cannot fathom, like, even just four new features. Like, I don't even know what that looks like, given what we already have. So I'm going to assume that one product is Sora. I'm going to assume the second product is Orion 01. I don't know what a third product would be. I think maybe it would be a product hint at whatever. I really hope, please. I hope it's a product hint at whatever him and Johnny Ives have been working on. I really want to hear about it. Anything, I don't care. Like, just the tiniest little detail would be awesome. I know it's a device, and I've been telling my wife since day one, like, if they make a device, I'm buying it. Like, it's not even, there is no after, like, second thought to it. It's just like, yeah, of course, because it's the thing. You know, I've just been waiting. I've been waiting since the summer, and it's just been like OpenAI just taking, like, kind of like taking little jabs here and there from Google and from Anthropic, and, you know, Claude's been making these huge advancements and Google making advancements, not, you know, that anybody cares, but now you got Amazon releasing a whole fleet of models, and they look really, you know, really devastating. They've got their Trainium 2 chip that just released, so they're, you know, $4 billion into Anthropic. Where was OpenAI? And now finally we're going to get this huge series of releases. But what's sad for everybody is that you're going to get to hear about it a day late. Unfortunately, I wish they were doing early morning releases, but that's the breaks. Outside of that, what I found to be amazing is, again, like, I love it. Anytime, any chance that I'm able to get any sort of interviews with people, like, at ground level that are, you know, working on foundational models and, like, where they're at with things next. Clearly, the one person that you would want to hear from, or the two people that you would want to hear from, I should say, is three. I'm not, be fair. Dario Amodei and his sister. I have got to get his sister's name a lot, because it's just not fair anymore. Let me see. What do you guys think of Shipmas? What are your expectations?
So, again, the number of, like, how many things. And I wonder how many of them there are going to be micro and how many of them are going to be huge. Like, if you think about Canvas, like, what are the things that could be brought to Canvas that aren't there now that we're not thinking about? The other thing is, too, like, right now, I would love to see where DALL-E is actually, like, well, I'll just put it this way, better. Meaning, you know, like, right now what I do is I use GPT to create some pretty amazing prompts. I put a Facebook and a LinkedIn post out yesterday about, like, some things that I was creating, because I've been working on a little deal. But I usually run over to, like, Flux or Midjourney or something else to, like, actually do the generation part. And I wish I could just be like, nope, Dolly's amazing. So like if that was one of the 12 things, that would be super dope. Like, so I'm excited. Also, I think about the voice assistant. Like, what are we not thinking about that could make the voice assistant just like next level compared to where it's at now? Because it's dope, like, especially if you're using it. So like, I think of like, how do you enhance and extend things that we have? Listen, I would love for there to be like a, and maybe there is, by the way, I don't know. I don't think there is, but I'd love to there to be like OpenAI 11 Labs like type thing, like where I could do audio with freaking OpenAI as well. I mean, if you let your brain go, there's a bunch of things that they could be doing.
I was going to say, one of the things that I thought about this morning is that while there are omnimodal models, there are not omni-output models. And I'm not entirely sure. I don't think so, because like the cost and the processing and all that would be just beyond massive.
So say that again and explain it to the non-nerds what you even mean by that.
So right now you have omnimodal, okay, which means that that's a model that can have various modes to it. It can understand various things. It can understand audio. It can understand text. It can understand video. There are, you know, what I'm envisioning, and then there's, you know, all these different types of generative models. There's text to text, text to speech, text to video, text to audio. At this point, the only thing that really isn't on the surface for anybody is just overall omni, right? So like all to all, speech to video, speech to text, text to video, all in one model.
When you say it that way, like it's almost like, not that this is a HubSpot podcast, but like, you know, HubSpot Remix. If all of a sudden you had a multi-model where you could just go into it and be like, I want you to build this, and then because of that, build this, and because of that, build this, and then because of that, build this. And all of a sudden you've got the script, the audio, and it's laying in over the video, and you're done. Like, come on.
I do hate to jump, because like the Idea Factory could go all day long. But one of the things that just put the biggest smile across my face this morning was an interview release from the New York Times with Sam Altman. And he answers a lot of the questions that we ask to ourselves on this show, and answers a lot of the questions I think a lot of people ask in general about AI. And so I'm going to go, like, I'll go statement at a time this time. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, interesting.
Have either of you had a chance?
I have not. Check
this
out.
Oh, this is going to be great.
This is going to be good.
To be good at conversations. And so we said, okay, let's make this as a product.
So this first clip, I should preface, was a question about, you know, OpenAI and what they were doing in the beginning and why they went with a text model. And so when people were using GPT 2.2 and 3 pre-release, they were using it as, you know, just a model to talk to. And they were using it conversationally. They weren't really using it as like a tool to have it do any particular output. So that's why they kind of tuned it in that direction to begin with. And then he's going to talk about something that's extremely profound to me.
Let me get in my prediction, since I haven't seen this, and based on what we expect to happen in 12 days. I did just pull up the article about Johnny Ives building something, and when it's like, but it's back from September, right? And it's like, which device like makes sense is what's driving this prediction. And when Amazon just came out with all their stuff, and based on the words, the 5 words that just saw, like, getting better at conversations, if these guys don't make an Alexa competitor of some sort, like, Amazon will run away with it just because it's in so many spaces. And if you're running the system on data and it gets better on data, like, it comes down to accessibility. Because even now, like, there's lots of things I could pull out my phone for, to check the weather, for example. And I don't, because all I have to do is ask out loud to the device that's listening. And
that's, in my opinion, what the device is going to be. So here's a little...
Is that a hard climb, though, as an organization? Like, to go against... There's a device like that from Google. There's a device like that from Apple. There's a device like that from Amazon. Like...
No, I mean, like, we say like, but that's a horrible comparison. It's the same as comparing rubber bands to magnets. They kind of work the same way, but not really. You know, one of them, I'm sure, in very short amount of time, is definitely going to be able to go out and do things for me just by me asking it to. I can't get Gemini just got the ability to play songs on Spotify. Let's not put the Google horse too far ahead. Guys, when you hear me slam Google, I have an Android. I have an Android phone. I've been a Google proponent for years, but I'm an honest person. If you're building shit products, I'm going to shit talk you. That's just the way it goes. Like, there's no, I can't get around it. I don't have the ability. That's the artist in me. I don't have the ability to do soft critiques. You know, that's just the way it is.
It's so interesting and why I feel it's important to understand the why behind these companies. And like, when you pull back the layer of Google and what their revenue stream is, which is Google Ads, something like 90 or 95% or something like that, they have a problem on their hands right now. It's very hard to imagine that business model surviving. And now we start to see like the litigation efforts of subpoenaing all the competitors.
While at the same time, the government levying its own subpoenas against Google, trying to break it up every which way it can. Now they just went after him for search. They went after the largest search company for search, right? Which makes sense. It's a monopoly, hands down. Where is the injunction against Microsoft all these years? Oh, wait, yeah, we all use Windows, right? Like, there, some stuff you can touch, some stuff you can't. It's a little, to your point, it's a little weird right now watching all these fights that are going on and, like, who's taking whose side. It's also a little weird, I'm sure people didn't know, Google has a stake in Anthropic. Yeah, that's right. At least Microsoft didn't even have an AI team before they invested in OpenAI. Google created the technology and immediately invested in Anthropic. So that, you know, I'll tell you something.
And that's why we like these clips, because they give us...
I mean, we haven't even really been able to watch a clip yet.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Like, I gotta play these. So this is perfect timing, right? So this is why everybody has been playing catch up.
Now, we'd actually been planning to launch it with GPT-4. We finished GPT-4 in, like, August of 2022.
GPT-4 was done August of 2022, okay? That's where OpenAI is at. They were there in 22. I'm pretty sure that's what, because I kept hearing about this dinner with Bill Gates and the OpenAI team, and that Gates was just blown away by what they had put together and said that, you know, oh my gosh, yeah, like this thing is so close to being able to actually do really well against an advanced like AP bio test. Like that's pretty nuts, because that's not really you have to think through that kind of a test. It's not something that you can just like memorize and spit back out necessarily. And to me, it was just like, well, GPT-3 is not like that smart. And like 3.5, you know, is like pretty, it's better, but it's not like that much better. Like, I wonder what they were talking about. So yeah, it's pretty crazy to think that everybody, think about that statement. Everybody has been playing catch up for the last 2 years, at least year and a half, at least, to a model that was, that's what I'm saying, like year and a half, their predecessor. It took at least 1 year for Google to get close to where GPT-4 was at. Anthropic is the only one that's like near, you know, tagged with them, slightly ahead. That's just in terms of like timing where they were at. This is a question about superintelligence, whether or not we could get to superintelligence. And then the interviewer was saying, quoting Altman's comment, that superintelligence was really only a matter of thousands of days away.
For sure, there's a ton of hard work, a ton of research and engineering still to do, but I think it's possible. And I think it's possible not super far in the future. I expect that in 2025, we will have systems that people look at, even people who are skeptical of current progress, and say, wow, that, I did not expect that. That does change what?
Like what?
Agents are the thing everyone is talking about, I think for good reason. You know, this idea that you can give an AI system a pretty complicated task, like a kind of task you'd give to a very smart human that takes a while to go off and do and use a bunch of tools and create something of value. That's the kind of thing I'd expect next year. And that's like a huge deal. We talk about that like, oh, you know, this thing is going to happen. But that's like, that, if that works as well as we hope it does, that can really transform things.
So there's a really important thing that I want to point out here was a what am I allowed to talk about? And the reason that he went in the direction of like, let me talk about what everybody else is talking about, because I know that that's safe to talk about. Now, my curiosity is then what's the other side of the coin? What are they thinking about that nobody's thinking about that not everybody is talking about? Because if you watch his conversational pattern right there, you're just like, oh, wait. There's something hidden. Very interesting clip, that one.
Headlines in the past couple of weeks where people have talked actually about maybe that the scaling laws of AI actually are slowing down. And you put out this, I don't know, it was cryptic or it was very direct. You put out a tweet where you wrote, there is no wall.
I don't see how it could be any less cryptic than that. Like, That was an attempt not to be cryptic at all and say, hey, this is going to keep going. In fact, hopefully this will put it to rest at least for a while. I've always been struck by how much people love to speculate on, is there a wall? Is scaling going to keep going? Is there, and like, rather than just like look at the curve of progress and say, maybe I shouldn't bet an exponential against an exponential like that. In any case,
he goes on to talk about the fact that they are doing what we were talking about in the last couple of weeks, which is like, they're just tuning. They're still scaling, but they're just tuning along the way. It's not that scaling is gone. So like, to say that scaling laws don't work, like, yeah, okay, we have found a, you know, if we had the resources for it, to say that scaling laws don't work is like saying that, you know, a Bugatti is not one of the fastest cars, production cars on the planet, the EB110. But it is. Why? Because it runs on like a V10 that's like, I forget, like it's a ridiculous, you know, amount of, like liter per gallon. It's crazy, right? The performance is crazy, but the motor is huge. Same thing with, I remember the Vector way back in the day, right? The first 1,000 horsepower car had, I think, a V12 in it, like V10, maybe V10 or V12. You know, just going to show that, like, yeah, of course, if you make things bigger, if you scale things up, of course, they're going to be more powerful. In a lot of cases, that does tend to hit a plateau, but we still haven't hit the end of Moore's law, right? We've actually broken it and gone past it. So now we've created an exponential that's beyond like what Moore's law was predicting. And that's as a result of scaling continually, right? Yeah, like we were on this flat for like a little bit, but even the flat allowed us to tune other things that created better technology while the transistors were getting smaller, decreasing in size along the way. So the scaling was happening. It's just like now, like you can basically think of this as like, okay, they pull started the engine. It's going to just keep going and it's going to keep revving up and it's going to just keep getting better. And they're going to start fine tuning along the way, which is only going to make it that much better, that much faster.
Yeah. After watching that clip yesterday about singularity from Mogadot, I started talking to Claude about it. And it keeps coming back to scarcity mindset versus abundance mindset. And there will be no place for a scarcity mindset in this world that we're already in my opinion. But like, the only people that come up with the wall concept are the ones that are scarcity thinkers. And that is a safe place for those minds to be, because they believe it comes with less uncertainty and things that they know. And it's just everything. It's like, no matter how you slice it right now, almost any topic I feel like we talk about, or we talk about on any of the other shows that I'm doing, that's a big part of the transition. Because I started this conversation with Claude saying, like, what would be your recommendation for somebody to prepare for that? And it gave me a very human answer, honestly. It was like, oh, get better at tools, like learn. Like, and I was like, okay, give me the AI native answer now. And it started a whole different track. The fact that he even has to explain that it's not cryptic at all. Like, he only has to explain that because there's people that want it so very badly to be cryptic.
Well, yep. No, not
I, really. I think it's that, like, not maybe really. There's people that don't really want it to be.
Not really what, George?
No, when you've been cryptic historically, then people will be like, oh, is he being cryptic? You tweet out a strawberry, you're being cryptic. Like, you're setting yourself up for people to think that that's the way that you communicate. So that's why I say not really, because, like, pay attention to patterns. Humans are going to human, right?
I love that. Yeah, the question's coming up here.
Grateful is like the wrong kind of word, but I'm like thankful. I'm positive about that. You know, we started OpenAI together, and then at some point he like totally...
There was a point at which he was being asked about why he was getting into it. I thought that this was the point at which I had gotten that, but he was asked about, like, oh, you know, what's your motivation? Like, why are you getting into it? And, like, about money and the fact that they were going for profit. And what's hilarious, by the way, Daniela Amadei. I'm honestly never going to forget that because they're Dario Daniela. So that's his sister's name. The three of these people, I think a lot of people, Demis Hassabis, I think Mogadot, I think Mustafa Suleiman, a lot of these people are probably of the same mindset where it's the fascination and the curiosity outweighs anything else you could possibly put in front of them. The money, like, even to me, I'm not even in the field, but if you told me that I could work with this team, I would probably take on another job to work with them for free. Like, that's how fascinated I am with it. Like, it's beyond fascinating to me. That I've been waiting for this kind of stuff since before I knew about sci-fi, which I was thinking about that very phrase this morning. And it turns out that what has been dubbed science fiction is really only a matter of fiction because time wasn't allowed to catch up to it. Because now everything that we have been talking about, everything that we have seen in the past in sci-fi is coming to fruition. All of the things that you might, like, do you guys even get that 10 years from now might be a time period in which whatever you want, you could, like, Star Trek type stuff, whatever you want, you could just ask for, level of abundance.
It's funny that you're having this conversation because my brain goes in two different directions. I have been able to live in a world where I grew up watching the Jetsons. And we were like, oh man, wouldn't it be cool if you could make a phone call and see the human? Like, and that was a dream. That was an impossibility. And then in 2007, the iPhone was born and FaceTime ends up showing up on the iPhone. And all of a sudden, the Jetsons becomes reality. I look forward to the day where some of these things that have been impossible become reality because the world that they unlock gets very exciting. The other thing that has been running through my brain during this conversation, I couldn't really let go. We've said it multiple times on the show, but Sam in one of your clips said 1,000 days, like a handful of, you know. Listen, from the time that the internet went mainstream, let's say 1995, if you do a quick Google search, to the time that the iPhone was released, was about 4,383 days, which you're like, holy crap. Now, from the time that the iPhone was launched to the time that we're sitting right here, basically around here right now, is 6,209 days. And I don't know about you, but for me, I can still remember the release. It seems like yesterday. It doesn't seem like it's been that long. And so when you're talking about 4,000 and 6,000 and basically like the time of the internet being born to us and where we're at right now, about 10,000 plus days. And you think about like what's going to happen in the next 1,000? Ladies and gentlemen, oh my God, it's time to wake up.
That's a wrap for this episode of Wake Up with AI. We hope that you feel a little more inspired, a little more informed, and a whole lot more excited about how AI can augment your life and business. Always remember that this journey is just the beginning and that we are right here with you every step of the way. If you love today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review. You can also connect with us on social media to stay updated with all things AI. Until next time, stay curious, stay empowered, and wake up with AI.